Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another What Ate Said podcast, where we share our, let's say it all together, Ates,
candid conversations about life, love, and everything in between.
Woo! What a start!
When you to say it at the same time, I was like, what? Say what?
Have you forgotten Audrey?
It's been a while.
Ates, Kuyas, this is our first episode back from our little hiatus. Mm. This is episode one of season two of the What Ate Said podcast.
Wow, that's so legit.
I know. Wasn't that a nice little treat for our Ates and Kuyas? We've never done that.
No, yeah, surprise.
Did we enjoy it, guys? Did we enjoy it?
Lovely. I feel in sync now.
Do you?
We are one.
That's good. That's good. My name is Antoinette, and as you would have heard, I'm joined by my other Ates. We've got a full house as always. We've got Audrey.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
I'm all right. I'm good. Ready. Let's get it.
How does it feel to be back? It
feels good. It's been a really, really, really long time because I was the first episode with Andy in our What Kuya Said series. So it's been like 2 months off.
Wow. True. Did you have to do any like rituals this morning to get the podcast juices flowing again?
I didn't want to overcook it. So I was kind of like, let's just get into it.
Yeah. But limit your expectations so you can just ease into it.
You know?
And then we have Vinning.
Hi, y'all.
How are you, V?
I'm good.
Are you excited to be back?
Always excited, doll.
Wow. How was your little break? What'd you get up to? Any reflection?
No, just had a good break.
Yep.
Spent a lot of time with Bubba.
Yes.
Bubba Ruskies.
Yes.
Had brief thoughts about potentially getting him a pet mate.
Ooh. Yes.
But now we thought against it.
Gave a name.
We were like, if we get another dog, we'll name him Boogie.
Oh.
So it's Bubba and Boogie.
Have you seen the meme where it's like you don't buy another pet for yourself, you buy a pet for your pet?
Yes.
Because, Bubba plays fetch by himself.
Oh.
Like he runs up and down the hallway with something in his mouth. He'll drop it in the middle of the hallway, run to the end, runs back to pick it up, and then just does that by himself.
Imagine if there was two.
Yeah.
Bubba and Boogie.
Lonely child thing.
Yeah, he's got single child syndrome right now.
I think you should go and take the plunge, doll.
Look, they're very expensive.
He wants to get Benny a goldfish.
Oh. Yes, for Christmas.
I thought
Benny
you were about to say golden retriever.
I know. I thought you were going to say golden retriever.
No, a goldfish. You know, we're going to name it Cat, but that did not come to fruition. Wow, this is what you have to look forward to coming back to our season, guys. And then, last but not least, we've got Eliza.
Hi,
how are you, doll?
I really miss this, but also, like, I think the break was much needed.
Yeah.
And I feel refreshed and I'm ready. I'm a bit, like, it feels really weird to be back. It hasn't been, like, a long break, but it feels really good to be back.
I guess a good thing is that now that we're all back together, we get to just kind of catch up and just kind of go off where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything exciting for this season? What can you tease for everyone?
Ooh, I'm really excited to have a guest speaker.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here.
And yeah, that was like a really big, like the tea just was spilled all over the table. So it's really juicy, but I'm really excited.
So excited. Our guest knows who they are.
Yes, our guest knows who they are. She is a frequent listener of the What Ate Said.
Oh.
Yes. She sends But yeah, she's a frequent listener and she always like says like Ate, like Ate Loy.
Oh
like,
my gosh,
so
I love that.
She is a fellow Ate.
Guys, I love it when our friends, like when you guys came to Benny's birthday party, all my friends were like, hi, Ates.
That's so nice.
Love that. You guys are so good.
I find it so weird because I'm the youngest. So I'm like, don't call me Ates. I'm not Ates.
You're still a sissy in their eyes. Well, I think we're all feeling fresh as a daisy.
Wait,
fresh.
How are you?
Yeah.
How are you?
What have you been up to?
Nothing, doll.
Right, move on. Same shit.
You know me, same shit, different toilet.
Well, I didn't get into it.
No, but it's good to be back. It's good to see your smiling faces. And I feel like, you know, we're always constantly on Messenger and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's good to finally put the face to, you know, who I'm talking to again and memorize all the curves and crevices of your gorgeous faces.
Oh, my God, she's looking at me.
Well, I've looked at all of you really deeply, haven't I?
Eye contact.
Yeah, I had to look away. It was too intense.
Okay, so before we get into today's topic, we are not going to break away from our traditions. We are going to do an icebreaker.
Yeah.
And one of the icebreakers that I got a lot of comments about was the one that I did with Jerome on our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
People found it extremely insightful, to say the least. I thought I was going to catch Jerome off guard, but, you know, he reverse Uno card me and my shit was aired out. So I'm going to ask you guys, starting with Audrey.
Yes.
Name one thing off the top of your head that is the weirdest, cringiest, quirkiest, strangest thing that your partner does in the household that would only be privy to yourself or to someone who's lived with him.
Oh. I can only think of, when you say it, I can only think of things that are my pet peeves when it comes to Andy. Can
okay.
I air that shit out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Air it.
Oh. Okay, so one of the things that I really, that came to mind straight away.
Yes, yes.
Is Andy is, like, he likes to eat tuna.
Okay.
And, which is whatever, I don't care. Anyway, he likes to eat tuna and he'll eat it from the can.
Yeah.
But then he'll just leave the can in the sink.
Oh,
that is because of all the oils.
And then like, I'll just be like, are you going to be washing this later?
And you're using the can.
Yeah, are we keeping the can?
Oh, that is really quirky.
Yeah.
Damn,
it's annoying.
Oh, her face just turned just then.
Yeah, I know.
The other day I was like to him, I'll give you until close of business today to give me reason and rationale as to why it's in the sink. But if you don't. If you don't give me a reason by then, it better be out of the sink.
Oh,
she goes corporate on him.
Yes, yes. Managerial. She puts her manager hat on. That is so good. I love that one.
You know that's when they just leave rubbish around?
Oh, yeah. That's a kind of a gift.
That's just a gift.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, the tuna can. He just leaves it there as if we're going to keep it.
Yeah, it's going to become a staple in your utensils cabinet. I love that. V, what have you got for us?
I'll say it as well.
Okay, this is really gross.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Okay, it doesn't really happen in our house anymore, but it was a frequent occurrence at his parents' house, your house, your old house, Audrey.
So would Audrey know about this?
Yeah,
100%.
Sure.
Okay.
I probably have a story that can add on to it.
He would pick his nose.
Okay. Do you know where this is going, Audrey?
Yeah, I know where it's
and
going.
Oh my gosh. So funny that we mentioned that we were going to call our next dog Boogie because he would be able to pick quite a nice juicy one out of his nose.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're on the bed, you got nowhere to put it. You got no tissue around.
No.
So what does he do? He flicks it onto the ceiling.
There was one legit at my parents' house that was there on the ceiling for like years. And then
did he take a photo of it?
Yes. Years. And then he moved into my house for a period of time for like 2 months. And there was also one there.
Oh my God.
In his room.
Look, all I can say is got some strong fingers.
Yeah.
Or sticky boogers. Or both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The projectiles.
Yeah.
And it sticks there.
It sticks.
And it's just stays. a little booger. Just a little gray thing on your
And you
ceiling.
Can see it. Oh, like you can clearly see it.
If you go into Aaron's room.
Look, I've
look up. look up.
These are good ones.
Look, I have given him a stern talking. I said, look, this stops at our house.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're not having boogies in this
house. Because you've got the high ceilings. How are you going to get up there?
Never.
It could get up.
You just paint over it when you do
painting. Yeah.
What is his rationale? Does he intend on retrieving it later on?
Clearly not. No, but yeah, it's like... It's like a satisfying.
Oh yeah, it's up there.
Like, yeah, I got it stuck.
You know what he should do? He should put like a little grid on the wall and do some tic-tac-toe. The first line wins.
Oh dear.
Wow, these are good ones.
Don't give him any ideas. Oh my god.
Yeah, ready if you're listening to this.
All right. Lassie,
the reason why I've been laughing about this.
Yeah.
Like, you guys know Arvin because I like to air out his shit with you guys all the time.
Okay.
But the reason why I said Vinny mentioned the boogers thing because we went out to lunch for Ronnie's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We were shopping at Target, having a browse around. The boys like to just go on their own. And all of a sudden, Arvin talked about this story about how I went into his room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting so closely to him, and I look next to me, and there's a book, but with boogers on it.
Huh?
Like, but what? With
a book?
Like a not like a book, like a piece of paper kind of thing with like boogers on top.
Oh my god! I thought you said like you opened the book and then there was just
it's not like a bookmark, huh?
that would have been our order.
And I said, Arvin, why don't you get some paper or something? And he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to throw out the piece of paper. And I'm like, what, until you collect what, 20? Collect them all? And then so I brought up this story with Arvin while we were shopping. And then Ronnie so loudly in the middle of Target says, if you got boogers, you got to let it out. Better in than out. Let the boogers out. And there's like families like walking around us, and like, you know, Ronnie, he has like the loudest voice.
Yeah,
you can hear it from a mile away.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, sometimes I like to.
His voice really carries.
Yes, yes it does. Yep. And then so Arvin's like, yeah, so I've got like this sheet of paper like with boogers on it, and I'm always like grossed out. And then like Aaron's like, oh yeah, well I flick mine on the wall, so like we're kind of the same. He's you might as well, like, let it go, you know? If you don't see a piece of tissue paper, like, just put it anywhere you can and get back to it. And I'm just, like, okay, I'm walking away from them because I'm so embarrassed because they are talking so loud about their boogers and how they flick it on the wall and they flick it on a piece of paper. And I was just so grossed out. And every time I walk into Arvin's study and I'm like, if I see boogies there, I think I'm gonna pass out. The
Wow, they were such enablers.
Yeah,
they definitely enable each other in the behavior.
But I want to know the tea about Jerome.
Another one.
Another one.
Say the moon.
Oh, okay. The moon. So he likes to moon people. Jerome's one. And by both moon, of them are mean about butts.
He's a mooner.
He's a mooner. If you didn't listen to the podcast, plug. Everyone listen to the What Kuya Said collection that we have from last season. But Jerome's one that I mentioned was he likes to ventilate at night. he always sleeps with his crack exposed.
Wait, so if it's not exposed, will he?
He gets open? Hot. He just completely takes off his pants.
Oh, okay. And his books and his dogs, or he like.
Does it depend if he wants to give me a bit of surprise.
It's so cold.
I don't know, cold or hot weather. He likes to exhaust, he calls it. So it comes out of his back. So when I go in for a cuddle, I have to try to maneuver my hand so I don't accidentally fall into the cracks. Pun intended. What's another one? Yeah, the other one is he likes to moon people. So if you are on a FaceTime with Jerome, he will randomly just walk behind me with his whole butt exposed.
And yes, my mom and dad have seen
his butt.
The moon.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes he'll be like, guess what today is, Loy? It's a full moon.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for sharing those, dolls.
Triggered me.
I know. Her leg is shaking.
Okay, your tree. Yeah, maybe we should make a podcast about,
Air out all our pet peeves.
Tuna.
Tuna. I didn't know where that was going, but I like it. I do like it. All right. Well, welcome back, guys. Once again, welcome back to the podcast. So just a really quick rundown of today's episode. Today's episode, we were talking about stress and burnouts. Mm. So dealing with stress and dealing with burnouts, how we cope, everything along those lines. So now that we've gotten really acquainted with our artisan queers again, should we get into it?
Yes.
Let's get it.
Yahoo. So, dealing with stress and burnouts. First off, what are burnouts?
Yes, that's a good
question. How do we identify them within ourselves? What's the tea?
Well, we definitely felt a little bit of it before the season, or when the season ended, right? Towards the end, we were feeling a little bit burnt out, and that's why we kind of thought about maybe we should do seasons so that we don't sort of just push out content that we're not happy with because we are sort of tired and creatively fatigued, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you guys, how did you guys feel towards the end of last season?
I definitely felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was mentioned, I was like, yes. I feel the same way you do. Mm-mm. But do you guys want to talk about the experience? About how it came to fruition, how the discussion came about. Because like I mentioned, I just kind of, I felt it from the sidelines and I jumped on board when you guys mentioned it.
Mm.
But how about you guys?
Well, I felt like, I think, this is going to sound dumb, but I do a lot of dog walking and I also work full time.
Mm.
So then having the podcast as well, unfortunately towards the end, it started to feel kind of like, another obligation. Mm-hmm. And initially it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, oh, I feel like I'm just churning things out for the sake of churning them out without giving them much thought. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really putting my all into it. Kind of just trying to get the passing grade. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if it were benefiting from me doing that for the group. It's not really doing much for us. So, but bringing it up was really difficult for sure.
I was going to ask you because you kind of, I don't know, you correct me if I'm wrong. When I kind of forwarded my question to you, you kind of went, kind of hesitant. But is it hard for you to bring up things like that to friends?
I think so. I think there's a level of not wanting to disappoint the group because you don't want to be I don't want to be perceived as the weakest link, you know, the person that makes the podcast stop for whatever reason. I don't want to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad that the feeling was shared amongst the four of us.
Yeah.
But then there's that feeling that you just don't want to be the person that will let the other people down because it's not just if it was just a endeavor that was just myself, then I would have been like, like I'll just stop. But because there are other people who are depending on my input, of course it's going to be difficult. Did any of you also feel the same case? Like where, or did you feel that when the discussion started where we wanted to kind of have a season break that you were just on board with it?
Yeah, I think for me it was like, because this is obviously a hobby for us, it started not to feel like a hobby. It felt like... not even a side hustle, kind of felt like work. And so when I felt like I was pushing content for content's sake, and when I wasn't putting much thought to it, I was just like, yeah, just upload it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it wasn't that great because this is a great creative outlet, I feel, for all of us. And when that wasn't really being portrayed in our episodes and on our socials, I feel like if we can't feel it, then our audience wouldn't be able to feel it. And as well as us spending time together, I think it was just heavily always what Atta said talk. So I really wanted to get back to connecting with you guys because I went out with Audrey, went to get churros, and it was just so nice to sit down together and really have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
because our conversation started to be like what how we would talk in an episode.
Mm.
And it's kind of unhealthy, I guess. And when conversations surround a hobby that you have, or it's like, I'm not going to ask her how she is. She'll tell me next episode, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was saying to you, that I felt that because I saw the three of you regularly, I didn't feel the need to see you out of the podcast, because I had there's only a finite amount of time, right? So, and you have other people that you want to see or spend time on or whatever. I felt like I wasn't spending legitimate time with you guys because or personal time with you guys because like Eloisa said, I'll find out what they're up to in the next episode. And I felt like it wasn't a really good way to foster our relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So then with saying that, how do we differentiate just us being lazy to actually mentally burnt out?
Mm. I struggle with this a lot.
That is a good question.
Because people have high expectations of themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I struggle to know, like, because then when you compare yourself with other people,
mm-hmm.
and I think it also has to do with a little bit of social media. You see people like on the go all the time, getting shit done, like, and they just look like they're just on all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And when you see yourself not living up to those standards or what you perceive to be those standards, you think, am I being lazy, or do I? Because I'm not doing all the things that this other person is doing. And so how do I know that it's just me being lazy, or I actually need to stop and just regroup? Because even for breaking for the podcast, personally, I felt like I was like, I feel okay. But I did know that creatively we weren't at 100%. And so even though I felt okay, I knew that it's probably best for the whole group to have a break so that we can come back,
stronger than ever.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It was like, I needed you guys to
shine a light on that.
Yeah. For me to be like, oh yeah, we actually do need a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 So it's okay to say no, guys. Right. And I know that, from your perspective, Audrey, there was a lot of heavy weight on your shoulders because you felt as though you didn't want to let anyone down. But at the end of the day, you would be letting yourself down if you didn't feel it just to come to us about what you were feeling.
Mm.
And we would hate for that to happen, obviously, for you to just take on the burnout yourself.
Mm.
So it's okay to say no. When is enough, and when do you just either get off your butt and do something about it, or when do you feel that it's the right time to speak about it? Is there ever a right time?
It's never a right time to say goodbye.
Sorry.
Back with the tunes. I wonder, I feel like if I didn't say anything, I probably would have just kept on going.
Yeah.
Because that's the type of person I am.
But that would have been to your detriment.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah. But it's not in my personality to stop things if it's not in my personality to say no. Or to stop things if other people don't feel the same way. Because if out of the four of us, I was the only one that was feeling burnout and the three of you were fine, I would be like, okay, I'll just suck it up. So I don't know when it is the time to say no. What was the thing that you just said?
When it's okay to say no, when enough is enough.
When enough is enough, I'm not sure.
But does that just speak to you as a character and being able to open yourself up so that it doesn't get to that point?
Yeah, I guess it's that actually being able to be comfortable enough to share those thoughts and feelings with people that are impacted.
Mm.
And thankfully, I do feel close enough with you guys that I can, but it did take a bit of time to actually share that.
Yeah.
That's hard because we are so close, and that's also because we don't want to disappoint one another.
mm-hmm.
because, yeah.
But, like, there's just a finite amount of time in a day. Like,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Fitting everything in, it's really hard. Like, you want to have the time where you have self-care. And sometimes self-care is being lazy.
yeah. yeah. Just doing nothing.
Yeah.
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 And that's okay.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah.
I like that, Audrey. Audrey always churns out the good little quotes, little crumbs.
Put in the teaser.
I like that. So apart from giving our listeners just a little bit of feedback as to why we went on a season break and the burnout in regards to that, have we found in our daily lives that there are usual suspects not being an actual person, but just, you know, things in our lives that regularly cause burnouts for us?
I think that Eloisa would be a good person to answer this question, given that she
burnt out all the bloody time.
Given that she has a bit of a side hustle herself in the freelancing space. So if you could shed some light, Eloisa, I think it would be good.
What was the question?
What are...
I was looking at Benny and just look at his dreamy eyes.
I was being an angel
smiling at him the whole time. Guys, Benny, my sister's dog, is here and he's on the couch and he's just an angel.
Can you imagine that?
He's just moved one ear. He's
because he heard his name.
Like, yeah, me, he's like, I know.
The angel.
If this was a person's first podcast episode to listen to us and they hear, like, Benny, and you didn't say it was a dog, and you just, like, Benny, a person, just instead like eyes looking at Eloisa. We have a live audience crowd.
I'm so sorry. What was the question?
The question is, what do you have any usual suspects or components in your life that often cause burnouts for yourself?
I think because a lot of my side hustles and my actual work is very creative. So when I don't feel like I'm in a creative mood, you can't really feel like that in my job. And obviously, like, in this podcast and as well as, like, side hustles, you can't really have a time where you feel creatively drained. Look, I used to be the type to cry. Like, if I needed to take a sick leave, I would cry. Because I didn't want to disappoint people and I didn't want to put someone else's work onto mine. So especially when the burnt out came for, like, even the podcast and stuff, I felt so terrible if I had to say, like, look, guys, I can't edit today, or, like, I can't do things. Did I answer the question?
Yeah. I was going to say, especially because, like, all of, like, your little freelance stuff, including, like, our podcast, is all in the same route. You do social media, both your full-time job, social media, your freelance work, social media, podcasts. If you guys don't know, Loy is the focal point of our social media. And then, like, do you even have time to just look at your personal stuff?
Yeah, do you find that you don't look at social media for your own personal
stuff? Yeah.
No, because I always feel like if I'm looking at Instagram, I'm not just scrolling, I'm working, because I'm looking at what else can creatively inspire me, or things like that. And I'm always constantly researching, I guess, because it's always in front of my face. So, yeah, sometimes I do feel like, okay, I work from 8 to 4. And then from 8 to 4, I do, like, my freelancing stuff. And then sometimes I'll have meetings with you guys, so it'll be, like, 7:30 to 9. So it's, like, where's the space between, you know, life? But I guess I've learned to deal with it, and there was a part last year where I was totally mentally burnt out. I was to the point where it became very physical, which was when I went to the hospital. And so I've learned my limits now, and I know to the point where it can get, so I try not to let it get to that point. However, when you work in this kind of industry, I guess you just have to go with it, as much as it sucks to say. There's no, like, resolution to it.
Then how do you – when you get close to the limit, how do you say no? How can you say no?
The really good thing is with my work, we have mental health days. And we are a small business. However, we all have each other's backs. So a few weeks ago, I felt like I was mentally burnt out. Mm. My doctor was like, you need a week's break. Mm. Take a week break from work, from everything, mm. and don't even talk to friends. Don't even talk to family. Take a break for yourself. That was really hard for me because I was like, I want to work.
True. Would there have been an anxiety of like, what about after this week? What yeah. am I coming back to?
My anxiety was especially because I said, my doctor said, take a week. And then I was like, I was bargaining with her. I was like, I'll give you 3 days. And then so I ended up calling my work and they were being so supportive. They were like, if you need a week, take a week. We've got you. If you're scared about coming, because that's where most of my anxiety comes back to. Yeah. It's like if you come back and you feel very overwhelmed, don't even worry about that. Like we got you. Come back slowly. Like if you even need to do half days and stuff like that. So I'm very lucky to have a supportive work front as well as like a home front as well. If I feel mentally burnt out, Arvin's like, you know what? I'm going to take care of like the house. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the chores. I'm gonna do it, like, just relax, just take a break. So
what about for the freelance things though? Is that a bit less forgiving?
Yes. Because so my freelancing job, I'm a copywriter and they're currently based in the Philippines. So it's really hard to have that one-on-one connection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is based via like email and WhatsApp and stuff. So you don't really see the burnout. You know how you can sometimes see like people when they get burnt out, you can't really display that in like WhatsApp or an email. So during the week's break, I tried my best not to talk to them, tried to be like, I'm not here. But yeah, but it's definitely less forgiving. So props to the people that work for themselves.
Yeah. Vinny, for you, you also have a side hustle of sorts in coaching.
Yeah.
Have you felt a similar feeling as Aloysa, or can you describe your experience?
I think it's more like getting uninterested in the things that I'm doing and being like, okay, this used to interest me. Why isn't it interesting me now? And then that's when I'm like, maybe I am feeling burnt out. And it's just... yeah, just little like identifying moments, I guess. When you're working, you're like, this isn't feeling the way it used to feel, but why? Yeah. Why is it? Like, and identifying the reason behind feeling that way.
Yeah, yeah. I get that.
And then sometimes, yeah, I just sit on the couch and do nothing because I'm just like, I always think of my brain as like someone's browser with like 20 tabs open. And like there's just – I'm just constantly thinking about different stuff and I'll be half scrolling down one tab before I switch on to the next tab and I haven't even read the other tab fully. Like I just feel like my brain goes into overload and that's why I just, yeah, sit on the couch and do nothing and watch really pointless videos to just like take my mind, just like literally make my brain switch off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Arj?
First, I would just explain what my burnout comes from. From freaking dog walking. Who knew? So it's not just dog walking my own dogs. I also dog walk like 3 regular customers. And each of those requires an hour walk per day. So that's 3 extra hours per day in your week, in your working week, which is 15 working. It is hard. It's
the fact really that you're walking for 3 hours.
Yeah.
How can the dogs even like walk for an hour?
They can.
I don't know. Like Bubba, we all know Bubba, but Bubba can't walk for an hour.
Yeah, Yama can't either. But yeah, it's dog walking. So this again stems from the fact that I don't want to disappoint my clients. Also, it really helps in saving for a wedding. So I want to maintain that client relationship. So I can't really be like, oh, I want to take this week off or, you know, because then they can easily find someone to replace me. There's an app where you can easily find someone to replace me. So I want to maintain that relationship. So I kind of just have to suck it up.
Is it something that you're going to stop doing after the wedding though? Like,
I actually gave this some thought about whether I would stop it. Look, like the dogs I look after, they're so cute though. You know, like it's another thing I think about is for one of my clients, they just can't walk them because they're an older couple. Aww. And then I just think like, whilst another couple could, another person could do it, I have such a good relationship with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have thought about dropping them, like dropping a couple of clients, and I've made my account on my, the application that I use to get clients inactive. So I don't add on anymore. But
it seems like you just need to find a balance.
Yeah.
Like it seems like it's something you enjoy doing.
Yeah, I love
it. But just not to the extent that you're doing it currently.
Yeah, I think I took on too many clients during lockdown in Melbourne. And because you have more time, like you don't have to worry about travel time to work and so on.
Yeah.
But now that lockdown is easing and restrictions are easing, it's just juggling it is a bit harder. And then finding time to walk my own dogs.
Yeah. For context, I don't remember. Did you walk dogs prior to making about saving for the wedding?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. I walked, but I only walked two dogs regularly.
Right.
Two clients.
So does the title of putting that on the dog walking, this or the whole idea of saving for a wedding, did that take away the fun?
No.
Okay.
I still enjoy walking the dogs. It's just the fact that I just don't have much time anymore.
The balance.
Yeah, the balance. Given that, yeah, like I go to work now, as in I go into the office, which is like a 2 hour, 1 hour there, 1 hour back, which already takes away 2 hours from my day. You know what I mean? And then that's 2 hours that could have been spent walking those dogs. Yeah. So it didn't take any of the enjoyment out of it. Because I actually take that time when I'm walking the dogs, I take that time for me. Like I'll listen to the podcasts I like. I listen to the music I like.
Yeah.
You know? So when I'm actually doing it, it's fine. But then at the end of the day, I would just be like, damn, I walked a lot. I have like 30,000 steps daily, nearly, whenever when I have all three dogs. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
That is nuts. You wouldn't think that dog walking would cause this much strife, but you can make pretty good side hustle money. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's an obligation. And you mentioned, you know.
It's another job.
Yeah.
It's 15 hours. It's like a part-time job, kind of.
Yeah.
What about you, Annie? Because your son is Insta famous.
My son? Oh. Oh, you're right. Actually, I didn't even think about that.
I was having the creative burnout for Benny's socials. Yeah,
I go through a lot of creative burnouts for Benny because it's just like, I think I mentioned this in our dog podcast. I started Benny's Instagram because I love taking photos. And I love taking photos of my dog. And just when like the external impacts of the Instagram account, trying to upkeep friends, trying to upkeep with followers, trying to maintain relationships with other creators, it just gets a bit too much, doesn't it?
Yeah, because then you're not kind of doing – like not that the people that you've made friends with are not people you want to spend time with, but then there's – other things that you might want to do that aren't related to.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's weird because I have a lot of saved images on Benny's saved photos. You know how you can save drafts on your Instagram. I have a whole bunch. So it's not that I'm lack for content. I just don't. I think it's the engagement. Like it sometimes it just doesn't feel genuine and I don't want to post something and then have to engage and people think, oh, Benny's not been around for a while. Are they only engaging because they've posted a new photo? And so I've just taken a step back from it because I'm just like, I just want to post photos of my cute dog.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to deal with like the external portions of that.
It's just a little photo book. Benny. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, it's just your little diary of him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually funny because I do also have an Instagram for Baba, but he's not anywhere near famous as Mr. Benny over there. But I actually post on Baba's Instagram probably more often than my own because I have no pressure to like reply, yeah, to do engagement on Bubba's Instagram.
On your one,
yeah. It's just like I post whatever I want to post on Bubba, and there's no like if someone replies, especially if it's a random that I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reply you. Yeah, I don't know you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. And Benny was reached out to a really big company recently.
Ooh.
Okay, I'll tell you guys after.
Can't
wait. A really big company. You know what? I should have messaged you to be like, should Benny just do it?
You can have the perks.
But wait, what is it? Now I'm interested.
Yeah, both of us just like, can we get discounts on the kibble? Because it's expensive.
But a really big company. And I was just like, I just don't want to do it.
Because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. And I have a calendar at home just for like Benny's commitments. And I'm just like, I need to take a break, which is really nice because like a lot of the brands that Benny works with, we have a genuine connection. Like I never, ever, ever want to endorse any brand that I've talked to once off.
Mm.
Like, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but like the, hi, you're cute. Please DM us for collab.
Oh, yeah.
I hate those.
Are they like, legit? They're never legit.
They're never legit. Like, so Benny's brands that he works with, we've had like an ongoing relationship before he ever became influencer for them or whatever. But yeah, I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. By the way, like, you guys think that we're just talking about a dog's Instagram? No, we're talking about someone that just got invited to go to Puffing Billy, okay?
So featured on 7 News.
Benny was on 7 News. It's my little superstar. Anyways, enough about Benny. It was really interesting to hear you guys talk about your individual burnouts within your daily lives. How does it come about? Like, how does it form? How does it bubble? How does it manifest?
Yeah, how do you show it?
Yeah. So I think unanimously, as per the title in this podcast, stress is very much on par with burnout, right?
Yeah.
What other added emotions, what other aspects lead to the eventual burnout?
I don't know about leading to burnout, but I definitely, like, how I know I'm burnt out is if I feel irritated.
Yes.
I'm like, and I'm like, don't touch me. Don't talk. This is to Aaron. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Don't even look at me. Don't even breathe the same oxygen I'm breathing. Like, I'm like, I just want to be left alone.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're highly irritable because like you don't know how to voice your irritations in a constructive manner. So it's just like.
And I feel like you're so in your thoughts, in your own mind that like you don't want to deal with anyone else because the voice in your head is already, I sound crazy right now.
Okay, doll.
Because the voice in your head is already being so annoying that you just don't want to deal with anyone else.
Yeah. And you just like, you just shut down because you don't know how to deal with what you're feeling. Sometimes you don't even want to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
So like you just block it out and you shut down. And then sometimes with that comes, you shut out other people and it's got nothing to do with them. But like, I just don't want to be on this earth right now. Like, take me to Mars.
Pretty much.
I want to be by myself. Another thing for me is, I don't know when it happened. Like, I think it's when I've acknowledged that I'm burnt out. Sometimes beforehand is like the self-doubt. I'm just like, no. I can do this. I can do this. Can I do this? Well, I'm going to prove you guys wrong and I'm just going to keep trugging along. And then I just add all this pressure, unnecessary pressure on myself. Where it's just like, just do it at your own pace. And again, like Vinny mentioned, there's no need to feel like you're keeping up with an image or with another person. And it's just like a lot of influence that I put on myself with wanting to perform at my best. And sometimes I need to acknowledge I can't do that. Anybody else?
Look, mine comes in anger. A lot. Get very angry. Yeah, same as like with Vinning.
The irritability.
Arvin like even touches me. I'm like, get off me.
Yeah.
I feel like, and then I start not talking to people, so I'll become really closed off. Mm. Like I just don't like, and I don't care. I'll just be in my own bubble. Mm. I'll make like stupid mistakes at work. Mm-hmm. I'd want to like sit down more and like just lay down on the couch more. Mm. I know when I'm burnt out when I start working from the couch. Mm. And sometimes, yeah, when I know that I'm like, oh, I'm about to get burnt out, I'm gonna work 14 hours and see me now, you know? Or like maybe it'll make me feel better.
Mm.
It doesn't. But yeah, sometimes like I'll overwork when I know I'm gonna become burnt out because I know it's gonna happen. I don't know. It's really weird.
You just try to push through.
Yeah.
Even though you know you're probably gonna run yourself into a wall.
Yeah. And I know when I vocally start listing out all the things I have to do to Arvin, like, oh my gosh, I have work and then I have to do this and I have to do that and there's so much to do. Oh my gosh, I'm going to split it into all these different days. I'm gonna make a list. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a list. And then I'm going to be like a super organized. And then Arvin's like, hold up. Wait, like just take a breather. Because I was like, I'm going to make a list.
Oh my God, you're that's not really like me. Telling Arvin. You're really telling yourself.
Yeah, I'm telling myself.
The voice in your head.
I'm not the only crazy one.
I'm like that too. I'm like, lists. Lists solve everything.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I'm so like, if I don't remember it and nobody catches me on it, then it's off the list. It's off the list. Don't have to worry about it.
This is why I have tabs in my head. Too many.
Yeah, and then it just gets uncontrollable, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's when there's so many that you can't even see like the title name of the tab. Yeah. It's just blank. That's my brain. Weird. That's my brain.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
That's really interesting. How else?
I for me, the last time I felt really burnt out, I was driving, I remember, with Andy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to run. And I started crying.
Oh.
because I hadn't run for, I like to run. I hadn't run for a long time at that point. And then I was like, I just want to do something for me, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, do something that I enjoy. So I was just like, I just want to go for a run, even if it's just for 20 minutes, just have time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was exhausted, I was tired.
Mm.
I still wanted to just do that because it felt like that was something that I had to sacrifice. Because like I said, time is finite.
Mm.
And I didn't have enough time for that. So then I sacrificed that so that I could do the other things that were on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how it manifests in me. I get really tired, have massive bags under my eyes. I push through like you guys. I'm just like, I'll just do it. And then at one point it would just crack and I'll cry.
Oh my God.
Do you reckon you could run with dogs?
I try. There's one that I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but like she goes a little limp. She's a bit older. So I was kind of like, I should back off, you know?
Coming on too strong, Audrey.
Yeah, no, oh, but she didn't get a limp with me. She had a limp, right? Oh. Yeah, she got a limp from something else. And then I was like, back off. And then I could try to run with Russell, but he is not about the running life. He is about I want to just smell the
gliding life. You can borrow my dog, although he is partial to a sniff, so he might stop.
I'm so scared.
Halfway.
I'm so scared that I would just like yank him.
It will happen, yeah. But, you know, he's along for the ride. He loves it.
Yeah, maybe. Gosh. Oh, far out.
Bubba panting, so cute. So excited.
Yeah, a block away.
He is a panter.
There's no burnouts with that boy.
Really, well,
yeah, really doesn't.
So, Audrey, you mentioned that you just run away.
I will run away.
Exactly. Is that your motivation to get out of the rut and then afterwards you feel a little bit more clearer and concise?
Sure. Yeah. When I do something that I want, like that I've wanted to do, for example, running, then that recharges my battery, funnily enough.
Mm.
It feels like I'm able to just have, it's like my reset button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because I've always found solace in working out, and so far, like recently running, as I've said a million times, that it's the thing that I really enjoy at the moment.
Right.
And also it's kind of meditative because the way that you breathe.
Yeah.
It kind of forces you to meditate-ish. So then in a way it helps me to center myself once more. So that's my reset button. And that's what I found is my reset button. That's why when I'm at that point where I'm like, I need to go for a run.
Yeah.
It's because I'm burnt out. But I don't really say to myself, hey, I'm burnt out, I should run. It's just I need to run. Yeah. I need to go and do something that I enjoy.
And while you're running, are you thinking about
No,
you're just, it's totally freeing for you.
Yeah, that's the thing that I enjoy about it.
I just pictured Audrey in my head, like, I just randomly see her running around the block. She's like,
like Forrest Gump, just running, nowhere to go.
I think it's because, I'm going to be one of those people with running, but it's really meditative.
Because I can see that.
The way that you breathe really deeply.
Yeah.
So then, kind of like yoga, you have to breathe a certain way.
Yeah, and to have an effective run, you have to kind of focus on your breathing. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be like...
You'll be a mess. But that's the way I recenter myself. What are the things that you guys do to get out of your ruts?
Creatively, I just take a break. And recently it's become Overcooked. So I will do things. Overcooked is a game. And I will do things to make me not be on my phone. Because I'm whatever I'm on my phone, work's going to message me today. Or my freelancing work is just going to give me all these things to do today. I just feel it. So if I need to be off my phone, I will do things that don't require me to be on my phone. Or I will watch a lot of reality TV shows, but I'll watch it on my phone so that I'm if I exit it, I have to enter the app again, continue binging, press play, put on the Wi-Fi. So I'll do things. Much. Yeah, it's too much.
Is there a part of you that feels, this is going to come back to Antoinette's question previously about laziness. Is there a part of you while you're binging and so on that makes you feel a bit guilty, or are you okay with being just doing nothing?
Before I used to feel really guilty, but now I realize that self-care can be so many, it's up to you what your self-care is. It doesn't have to be what your self-care doesn't have to be what other people say. For example, I thought that self-care was just pampering yourself and giving you a little manicure. Your self-care, to me, self-care is cleaning my house. Self-care to me is, playing Overcooked.
Yeah.
Or doing little things like that. It took me a while to realize that, and I don't know why. But, I don't really feel lazy anymore. I feel like I've just been put in a little socket and I'm charging.
Do you guys feel like, because I feel like for myself, when I do allow myself to take a break, it's on the condition that I will work twice as hard or better when I finish my break. It's like I have to make up for the time that I was self-caring.
I used to think that, but now I don't think that anymore, because for me, I feel like that was really, it wasn't that great for me. I kind of see it in a way as, okay, if I give myself this time, I can come back and be even better than what I could deliver, I guess. So I like to see it that way, because I'm just like,
I don't really have a condition that okay, you have to finish this particular item and work double time. It's more so, okay, so for me, I don't have a particular thing. I don't have Overcooked. I don't have running. It kind of is just whatever I feel like doing in the time. Sometimes it's something as simple as making myself a tea. Sometimes it's I'm going to read a whole chapter. Sometimes it is, I gotta play some Call of Duty, take some names,
Take some names.
Pick them off one by one. But it's just whatever I feel like in that moment. I don't have a condition of I've got to work double time, but I do have a condition of you're okay to have this time. And I acknowledge that. And you need it. Even though you think that you don't need it, it's okay. However, once you're done with this time, then work cap is on. Does that make sense?
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I can't just like just go on a snowball of like bring out the Doritos, the ice cream, and that's fine. That's whatever you guys want to do. But for me, it's once you're done with your zen, then you can get back into it and you can work at whatever pace.
I have another question. Do you guys feel like there's a relationship between the when you feel burnt out and say the time that it's taken? Because I feel like there's, from all our examples that we've spoken, it feels like we've worked up to a really long time until we feel this burnt out. But do you feel like there are situations where you can feel burnt out like right after you've taken a break? Like, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I definitely agree that like a burnout often is just like a gradual burn because you've been putting yourself back into this position that doesn't make you happy anymore, that doesn't fulfill you anymore, that just gives you negative aspects of it. But yeah, sometimes like I'll go on a break and then something else will get added onto the plate and I'll come back from my break and I'm like, oh, I feel good. Let's go back to my to-do list. And then something else will get added onto it. And I'm like, I'm burnt out. Leave me alone. But yeah, I agree. There's definitely a time aspect to it. But it's okay if you if you come back and you still feel burnt out.
I wonder if it's just like being able to say no to the things so that to things before you add things onto your plate.
Yeah.
You know? Like make sure that after having your break, your plate will not have been emptied yet. So make sure it's at a reasonable state before you add things onto it. Because it's easy to be like, yeah, I've had my break. I can do everything.
Yeah.
But your plate hasn't been, like I said, emptied yet. So you should attend to that first.
I feel like also, if you do feel that type of way, then maybe it's looking at whether you actually enjoy doing the things that you're doing.
That's true.
Because you're expecting that after you've taken a break and you've cleared a bit of that plate, that you do things that sort of fill up that plate again. Whereas you might be doing things that aren't filling up that plate. Might be, I don't know, junk. So
sometimes when I feel burnt out and I come back, I like to just kind of sit down and just have a really big think about it and what are some ways that I can restructure things. Because I feel like when I take a mental break and I come back and sometimes it could, when I do those certain things that made me burnt out, I can feel really triggered. So I guess I like to sit down and be like, okay, let me restructure things. Like if I do feel like I'm working too much, how can I work things so that, or how can I communicate better? So for example, I felt really burnt out with my side hustle and I came back to them and I was like, look guys, I'm only working 2 hours a day. Like, and that's my limit. I will do majority of the work on the weekends. I'm not going to do it after work. So you have to message me before 4 and I will get what you need done by then. So kind of like restructuring things to make me feel a little bit better.
And it's interesting that you mentioned the restructure and acknowledging the key aspects that would trigger those stresses and anxieties for you. But even having put those boundaries in place, does it still make you weary or cautious or paranoid about situations that caused previous burnouts? Do you think oh, it's going to happen again. Like, I'm just going to totally avoid this scenario or like.
For sure. Sometimes like, I'm like, I can feel it coming. There's a wave coming. And like, sometimes even if I do put those boundaries, sometimes like when you work in this industry, things, social media is running 24/7. Sometimes you're going to have to deal with things at 12 o'clock at night. So sometimes I'm like, oh, well, those boundaries are going out the window. See you later. But yeah. just gotta, but at the same time, I'm just like, okay, I really need to think of a balance to be great with clients and, but at the same time, listening to my body so I can give them the best of me. Yeah.
You got the best of me. That's a BTS song.
What was the last thing you guys did? I know that you were talking about like running and stuff, but I just remembered that during this conversation, the last time I had a burnt out, I felt burnt out. I watched Devil Wears Prada. The Devil Wears Prada. Because that is like my favorite comeback. Like, she is a hardworking bitch. Okay, let's get to it. Anne Hathaway, thank you so much. Meryl Streep, you the best. I'm back.
You know what,
my Emily Blunt, don't forget about Emily.
Oh, yeah, Emily Blunt. I love you so much.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
My comeback movie is.
Comeback movie?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, gosh. What a good one. That makes me cry, though. Yeah.
It makes me cry. And that in turn gets out some things that were deep down in here.
Yeah.
And not to say that people in more unfortunate circumstances make me feel better. That's not what I'm saying. It's the bounce back, sis.
Yeah. Yeah, the bounce
it's
back.
Like, wow, if he can do it, I can do it.
Mm.
Oh, you gosh, can make something so out sad, of anything, yeah, you know.
That is a good story. Mm. Oh, my God, I'm over here like Space Jam.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
It's a bounce back, no?
Yeah, it is.
His basketball.
The underdog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel me?
Underdog because you walk dogs.
I do. Oh, look at us.
I'm out. All
right, B, give us a good one.
Oh, gosh.
Come on.
Oh, I don't watch any. I watch YouTube videos.
Yeah, who's your favorite? Okay.
Who's your favorite person to watch?
So there's a channel called Jolly.
I've been watching them. They're so fun.
Are they a family vlog or?
They're kind of like a comedy thing.
Duo.
Mm. Yeah. And one of them has a little girl. Her name's Juno.
Oh, she's so cute.
And she's the sweetest little girl. Ever.
Don't look like you're interested, Annie, because she's gonna make you watch it. She made me watch it for like 3 hours.
Do you? Fun, what? Though. Do but you yeah, regret it?
No, I don't. No.
Little girl, I'm no
on
regrets.
The attack right now.
The daughter is very cute.
So cute. Yeah, it just puts me in a good mood.
Okay.
That was so ridiculous.
That was so random, but like, yeah, I was just like, oh yeah, I remember the last time I had a burnout. Watch. I was like, Arvin, download the Devil Wears Prada for me. He's like, oh. Yeah. He knows what Devil Wears Prada does to me. And he's like, oh, shit, here we go. She's coming back.
All right. So to put a nice little ribbon on this podcast, I'm going to ask you guys, what have you guys learned from dealing with previous burnouts, experiencing them? What have you guys taken from your learning?
The main one for me is it's okay to say no. And actually I haven't learned how to say no in a way that I'm okay with, but I think the next thing I need to learn is how to say no.
I hate it when people say this, but I'm gonna say it because it really did help me. Listen to your body.
Yeah, it's really true though, because the things stress can do to your body is ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure. I really learned that, and listen to your body and know your limits.
I'm still thinking.
You're still pondering. What have I learned? I think I've learned that it is okay to take a break. And as we mentioned before, sometimes it's okay to not have anything on your plate. And just relieve yourself of the pressure of feeling like you need to do something 24/7. And just being with yourself is okay. And that should be enough. Like, you know, love yourself first. Hashtag love yourself first.
I like that.
That's a BTS album, Love Yourself.
Oh my god.
She's back.
I'm really liking their
like the
current
trivia?
Songs.
Oh, actually. Current songs? Oh,
yeah, loving it.
Cool.
For me, going back to my little browser analogy.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't need to sort through the tabs. Sometimes you just need to close the browser.
Yeah.
Close all tabs.
Yeah, close all tabs. Yeah.
Close all tabs. Yeah.
If you don't get followed up on it, it's gone.
Close all tabs.
Yeah.
Open up a new one. Start fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sleep monitor.
Sleep monitor. Yeah. Yep. Hibernate. Yeah.
Hibernate. Yeah. Is it hibernate?
Don't know.
I'm on Windows.
I anyways. Never knew the difference between <I'm on Windows. laughs>
Yeah, on Windows,
it's
sleep, right?
Yeah. Wait, no, I thought they used to have both. I never knew the difference.
Oh, I don't is know. I'm only.
Sleep? Wait, you guys, are you guys going to freak out if I don't know what that is?
Oh, it's like you can shut down, restart, or sleep. Yeah. Sleep is like.
Oh, yes.
Your computer is still on, but your monitor is fully shut off.
Yes.
And it just reboots.
That's why my laptops die, guys, because I just shut it down. I just close the thing. And I'm like,
so that's
shut
sleep.
Down, reset, sleep, do whatever you need to do. But then sometimes I come back and it's like got that Apple thing and it's like rebooting. I'm like, fuck, what do I do?
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you guys, our beloved Atas and Queers, for joining us back for another season of the What Atas Said podcast. We hope that this first episode has got you gearing and excited for what's to come in season two.
Yeah.
Because I know we're all really excited and
we're back from the burnout, guys.
And we're back.
I went for a run.
Yeah. Yes, we've bounced back. That's all the time that we have for today. Thank you guys for giving us a listen. If you enjoy our podcast, please give us a rate on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. On Spotify, if you want to give us a follow, subscribe on Spotify, isn't it?
Follow.
Follow. One or the other, yeah.
Otherwise, if you just want to share by word of mouth to your family and friends, it would definitely help our tiny little podcast. But, we can't wait to come back to you guys. Until then, our DMs are open for you guys if you need a sounding board for anything. If you want to tell us your burnout stories, your advice for us, we'd love to have a chat. So that's on whatatasaid.podcast on Instagram. We love you guys.
Catch ya.
Get catch back. You guys. Back, bitches. It's Britney, bitch.
I went and sang the other one that you started.
I don't know what I started. I just started chopping a beat.
I thought it was Justin Timberlake.
No. Oh, yes.
I gotta know.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone.